It's an exodus happening here. Well, it appears the liveliest ones have left the building. How wonderful when the Spirit comes in seasons of refreshing upon His people. Truly, that happens when we have a repenting heart that truly desires to know the Lord's will and the Lord's way. We are also thankful when the Lord enables those who minister the word to be refreshed by the Lord. And I'm very thankful for this day of rest and refreshment from the ministry of the word this morning, from just spending time with the Lord. It's wonderful. I remember one time I talked to a real old saint when I was in Hong Kong. And this person used to go and listen to Watchman Nee. And I said to her, well, what was your impression of Brother Nee? And without any hesitation, this was her statement. Didn't tell me how tall he was, how much he smiled, but this is what she said. Well, I was a nurse, and I had to travel across town by several buses, and then I had to walk over a bridge and then walk a couple of miles, and by the time I got to the meeting, I'd already been on a 3-hour trip. No matter how tired I was, when our brother stood up to minister, I was refreshed. Like the morning. Now that's a great thing to be said about somebody who ministers the word. And we realize that it isn't the servant himself, but the word itself that does quicken us and give us life and refresh us. So we pray tonight the Lord would do that as our bodies are tired and as the sun begins to set. May the Lord keep us refreshed in His presence. I'd like for us to open the Gospel of Matthew again, and we're going to pick right up where we left off last time. For those of you who didn't hear, of course, there's a recording available. Matthew chapter 24, and let's just begin reading in verse 42, and then I'll just go to a few other verses. Matthew 24, 42. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. There's that word parousia. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming, there's that word parousia, at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and he begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour which he does not know. And will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the kingdom of the heavens will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And then just the moral of that parable in verse 13. Be on the alert, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Lord, we don't know when you will return, when we will be caught up into your presence, but we know right now that you're with us. We ask that your Spirit might quicken us, refresh us, and to bring us to that kind of alertness that you desire and require in your kingdom. We submit ourselves to you, the only master of the kingdom. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Last time we took the context into view of this Olivet Discourse, which means the words Jesus spoke on the Mount of Olives. As you'll remember, he had been down in Jerusalem, and in a day of intense controversy, Jesus rose with a wisdom from God that enabled him to stand and even to shame the various leaders of the sects of the Jews with a wisdom that was direct and even gained the approval of the people, who instinctively sensed he was speaking the truth. After listening to these questionings and controversies, and by the way, you can tell somebody with the true authority of God, because through all of that, you never see Jesus on the defensive. They came to him with questions, and he turned them right around. The next thing you know, they were answering questions and on the defense. What a wonderful master our Lord Jesus is. But having taken all of the abuse and rebuff from these leaders, Jesus turned and in very strong words condemned them for their hypocrisy and then condemned Jerusalem as a whole because he had come to them as the Messiah of Israel. As a hen looking for her baby chicks, willing to place these people under her wings, but they rejected. And so the Messiah summarily judges Jerusalem and the temple and says, one stone will not be left on the other. When he left the temple after these strong judgments, obviously the disciples were struggling with these judgments, because the disciples, all they knew was this outward religion, this adhering to rules and offering sacrifices and obeying and being part of feasts and smelling the lamb at the temple and seeing the beauty of its objects and hearing the choirs singing in four-part harmony and various courses through the day and night. It was an addictive thing, which now Jesus was saying was going to crumble to nothing. And they were having a tough time accepting the judgments of this usually gracious Jesus. But you know, our Lord, having rejected these rejectors, walks up to the Mount of Olives, and as the disciples begin to talk to him, and he again confirms that the temple would be left not one stone upon another, they began to ask him questions. They wanted to know when this temple would be destroyed, and what would be the sign of his coming, and of the end of the age. They were looking for something outward, in order to some signs so that they could know exactly what was going on. And you know, our Lord came to his own disciples like a hen and took those chicks under his wing and spoke to them words that we call this Olivet Discourse. And I just wanted to try to convey last night that Jesus was not at all interested in giving us charts and timetables regarding the coming events, but he was taking these disciples under his wing. There was so much more he wanted to say. What could he share with them? Obviously, his burden was to try to get them in a great transformation of looking at things as they are outwardly into an awareness of the great spiritual reality of the kingdom that was even in their midst at the moment, but to which they were almost entirely blind. And so he answered their question, and he spoke of some signs, but I ask you the question, did he answer their question? The summation of all he said in his answer was actually there in verse 36 of chapter 24 when he says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son."